The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Listening to Cap and J-Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and J-Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
That's why I say amen, I
shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
shot, brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app and stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account.
Danny!
Gentlemen!
Morning, Danny.
Good morning, Hoodie. How are you, buddy?
Chilling, Danny.
How are you, buddy?
What up, Kaplan? You guys know what today is?
Tuesday.
It's report day for your Chicago Bears.
Oh, I thought it was Tuesday, like Neil Funk would say. Not Tuesday. Tuesday. Yeah.
As we speak, Chicago Bears are arriving at Halas Hall. They're checking in. They're getting prepared to start the 2021 season. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Matt Nagy, who will speak today with Ryan Pace at 11:30, has the most to prove this season of anyone in the entire Bears organization.
That is a shot because there's supposed to be more imagination offensively with this team, whether it's Andy Dalton or Justin Fields, talking about running the football more and being able to be exotic with different plays offensively. So there's supposed to be a difference offensively. Remember, the narrative, as a matter of fact, Cap just said it last hour, he didn't have the quarterback that he wanted. Maybe he'll have the quarterback that he needs now. So we'll see.
I just want to see, and it is definitely a shot. At the end of the year, look, if they go 1-16, there's going to be a house cleaning coming. I don't think that's going to happen. If they are 9-8, 10-7, 8-9, as long as at the end of the year I go, actually his offense looks better.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line looks better. They actually ran a ball better. The quarterback play was better. They just weren't good enough. I'm okay with that. That's all I need to know. This team is about the development of one player. His name is Justin Fields. That's it. Danny.
And Tevin Jenkins.
He better play well. Him and Larry Borum.
Did you go to Hebrew camp with Larry Borum?
I did not.
Did you know? Definitely. It sounds like a name that you might have known. My guy, Larry Borum. His grandfather always liked the nice cup soup. He made the best fish on the grill. It was great.
I don't think he's Jewish. Daddy.
All right, gentlemen, as we reported yesterday, over the past weekend, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers were able to reach a mutually agreed upon terms in which Rodgers will arrive in Green Bay. He will report to camp probably today, with this being his last season with the organization. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Aaron Rodgers' negative feelings towards the Packers and his incredible desire to get out of Green Bay will cause resentment in the locker room between the star quarterback and his teammates?
Well, that's a great one there. I will say no shot, Cap, because as far as we know, there is harmony between the rest of the players and Aaron Rodgers. Have you heard current players speak out against Rodgers in this offseason? I have not.
Nobody. And I'm going to say that's a no shot. They're going to try. They're going to take their leader's side. They're just going to try and win as many games they can, get as far as they can. Maybe it's a Super Bowl championship. Maybe it's not. I do not think it will cause disharmony in the room.
Danny.
Gentlemen, it feels football-y today, so let's stay football.
Sure, yeah.
Vikings assistant coach Rick Dennison lost his job late last week because he refused to get the COVID-19 vaccine. He'd been the Vikings offensive line coach, run game coordinator for the past two seasons. Yesterday, super agent Drew Rosenhaus in an interview said that when teams are inquiring about his free agent clients, they are asking him if the player has been vaccinated or is willing to be vaccinated. So I asked you guys, shot or no shot, what's happening in regard to vaccinations in the NFL is indeed fair.
Shot.
It is a shot. And the reason why it's a shot for me, Cap, is that, look, you don't want to lose a game because half your team is sick. Half your team did not pass the protocol. You know what set football back for just a week? You know what set football back? The Denver Broncos and that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Those three quarterbacks not available because of COVID-19.
Or tracing.
Or the COVID tracing. Anything around it where you're having someone that's not a quarterback play the game. You know how bad that was? How bad a look that was in the NFL? Do you want to see that every week where half the team or important players or any players are out because of COVID-19? No. So what you don't want is to be able to have a number of players or coaches become sick and not available because of COVID-19. Of course, as we've said many times in this show, you have every right to do what you want with your body when it comes to COVID-19. But there are circumstances that you have to deal with because everyone's not going to agree with your stance if you're an anti-vaxxer.
And if you do not want to get it and your company says, guess what? You don't get it. You don't work here. They have that right. The courts have said they can force you either be vaccinated or you lose your job. You don't work for us. And I completely agree with that statement. The unvaccinated, no man lives on an island. Nope. The unvaccinated are the reason this thing's still an issue.
Do what you want to do, but understand everyone doesn't agree with your stance.
And there's consequences for your actions.
Yeah, so go do what you want. And I know you'll hotline Danny and talk about your freedoms and your will. And all your will don't matter to companies. How about that?
Correct.
Your freedoms with all the S's and all the Z's don't matter to companies that say, hey, man, we want to make sure that everyone is in a position where they're not getting others sick.
Correct.
That's all.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and his company is advertising for four or five different positions. And he said, we had a meeting. We just agreed. We will not hire anyone who's not vaccinated. Period. That's it. Danny.
Let's stick with football, gentlemen.
All right, just go ahead.
Two women with new allegations among 10 to file police complaints against Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Eight of the women, Watson's attorney Rusty Hardin told ESPN, are among the 22 women who have alleged in civil lawsuits that Watson sexually assaulted them or engaged in sexually inappropriate behavior during massage sessions. Two of the women who have filed complaints with Houston police, Hardin said, have not filed civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. I ask you, gentlemen, plain and simply, shot or no shot, Deshaun Watson has taken his final snap in the NFL.
I'm going to say no shot. I think we've seen it from the days of, remember Steve Howe, the reliever? Yes. He got like seven chances. And when he kept failing drug tests.
Yes.
To here we are today, unless he is convicted of sexual assault, if there's just a bunch of payments under the table, terms not disclosed, he settled with all the wins, he will play again. So unless, I'll put that proviso in there, that he's charged criminally and convicted, I'll say no shot. He's still playing.
So we go to Michael Vick and we go to a lot of different stories of players getting themselves in the trouble, and they find a way to get back on the field of play. Mm-hmm. They find a way, right? Because here's why. You and I are probably, because of all this, we probably look at Deshaun Watson and say, I'll pass, right? Mm-hmm. But other general managers see the talent. We know what you went through personally, but boy, let's set that to the side. Can you give me 30 touchdowns? That's what matters. And again, the morality of it does not resonate with everybody. But they see the talent cap.
Correct.
And so they say, well, you went through this, but we're going to make sure that you're in a program and you're talking to women's groups and we're going to put you in the straight and narrow, but can you play on Sunday?
Correct.
So Danny, I'll ask you, I'll throw it back on you. Will Deshaun Watson come through the tunnel in Houston when they play Jacksonville for the opener?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Meller pointed out this morning in the IDOT bullpen that
Tell us about the IDOT bullpen. Stretch!
Driving, biking, or walking responsibly really is a matter of life or death. Learn more through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com.
Now, Meller pointed out, and I'm going to let him elaborate more because it's his thought, but Meller pointed out in the IDOT bullpen that Adrian Peterson was put on the exempt list for an entire year for hitting his child with a switch. Now, I'm not saying what's worse, what's not worse, but where Deshaun Watson falls, if that's suspendable for a year, what is 22 allegations and some, you know, police charges?
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing is, and you put the caveat on there, Cap. That's why I think there is a shot. He's become a serial, you know, they're allegations, but it's a serial sexual abuser pattern that we're seeing right here, right? And if there are convictions that follow, I think absolutely the seriousness of the crime, you're seeing it play out right now in Los Angeles with the Dodgers and Trevor Bauer. I don't see how Deshaun Watson, with this currently unresolved and now in the police's hands, I don't see how he doesn't get put on the commissioner's exempt list because of the precedent of guys like Adrian Peterson for, you know, while maybe horrific and heinous when you consider what he did, we have a much longer list right now of allegations that are on Deshaun Watson. And so because of it, I don't see how the NFL can allow him to play this year with this being unresolved.
The allegations are getting to Bill Cosby proportions, aren't they?
It seems like it.
Man, it's one after another.
So it's a lot. So, see, that's what Danny will say, no shot, but it's just when you have that many people saying the same thing, maybe he will never be formally charged for any of it. But still, that cloud that's going to be hanging over the organization, people will be asking every player, every coach, what do you think of this guy being on the team? People picket. You know, women and men will be picketing outside of their stadium because of him playing, if he does play for the Texans again, or any team.
Correct.
So it's
remember Quentin Daly?
I do.
The late Quentin Daly. I believe he's deceased. He played for the Bulls.
Yes, correct.
He had issues of that nature or worse when he played at University of San Francisco and the Bulls drafted. Dude, there were women's groups outside Chicago Stadium that he should never not only play for the Bulls, that he should be locked up. Mm-hmm. He ended up not having a great career, and he had a lot of issues off the court. Deshaun Watson, these allegations, some of them what you read, pretty serious stuff here, man.
Yes, it is.
Danny.
Gentlemen, Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, turned 52 years young over the weekend.
Oh, stick with football.
Yes. All over the internet this week, you're seeing pictures of her and Ben Affleck on a yacht making out, her wearing a very nice bikini, and him having his hands all over her. Uh-huh. So I ask you guys, plain and simply, shot or no shot, J-Lo and Ben Affleck share a real love?
I say no shot. I don't think that's real love. That is a bounce back. No, that's it's a rich rebound love, right?
But it's not a rebound because she left A-Rod for him. Like, if A-Rod left her, then her going to Ben Affleck's a rebound.
I don't think she left
A-Rod
for him. I think she left A-Rod because he was a dirty cheater.
Well, no, I don't think you get – but it's not a rebound when you're the leaver. I think it's only a rebound when you're the leavee.
I disagree. When you get out of a long-term commitment where you've bought property to get – like, they were into this thing. They were engaged. It's a rebound either way.
Yeah, so Danny, so you're saying that if you are going through, you have a relationship, and the relationship doesn't work out, but you immediately find love, like, the next day, that's not rebound love?
I think it's rebound love when your heart is broken, right? Like, it's, I was in love with her, I didn't want this to end, she ended it, she wasn't happy, now I'm in a place of despair, what's wrong with me, or I'm a little depressed, and then I find the next love, that's rebound love. But when you're in a relationship and you're just not happy with it, and you can't stand being with that person, or you're ready for it to end, and you break it off, and that whole time that you were unhappy, you were looking at other people because you were interested in them, that's not a rebound. You're just free.
She went back to someone she said was true love back in the day, and it didn't work out for whatever reasons. They were at different points in their lives. Mm-hmm. They were recreating the Jenny from the Block video with that scene on the yacht with his hand on her butt. I think it's true love.
She knows where the cameras are. Don't they? I mean, the angles are just perfect. Those TMZ pictures that we see, it's just perfect. Ass in the air, his hand on her ass. I mean, it's amazing. as if they were posing for the pictures.
Yeah, I do think they truly love each other. I do.
So in a month when she's going with someone else. I mean, when you've had those many relationships, man, you can't be pleased. Halle Berry the same way, right, Danny? I mean, how many relationships? I mean, we can go as far back as David Justice if we care to.
Yes.
I mean, but it's a lot of relationships.
It's Halle Berry, Jennifer Aniston, J-Lo. For some reason, it just never sticks with those three.
Is Swiftie on there, too? A little Taylor Swift or no? Is she in the team photo of that?
No, I think she's too young and a millennial. She's just like playing the field. She's having a good time.
And just likes to rip ex-boyfriends in songs, though, right?
Well, listen, everyone needs a muse.
Wow.
It's a good point. It's a great point.
You got
point.
Right about something, man.
It's a great point.
Jenny from the block.
I don't believe when we see these people on TMZ so often, it's just too much for me.
All right. Waddle's list of most important bears. That is number two. Next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Tom Waddle, each and every day, has been running down the 15 most important bears for the 2021 season. Not for 2022, not for the next 15 years, for this season. That's it. Period. And it's not, well, that guy's rated the 12th best player, so he's not as good as we thought. It has nothing to do with that. He's not rating him who's the best player. Simply, who's the most important? Here is Gregory Thomas Waddle on the second most important bear.
Number two most important players in the upcoming season is Khalil Mack. This will mark his fourth season as a Bear. Would love to see him return to 2018 form. Not sure that will happen, but he can still be a dominant player and can still and needs to be the cornerstone of this defense. Failed to register double-digit sacks in each of the last two seasons. But still an elite pass rusher, and depending on the metric you use or the place that is distributing the analytics, still a top three, top five pass rusher when it comes to getting to the quarterback and win rate with regard to pass rush situations. I think you've heard me say this quite a bit in recent times. I think they'd be wise to give him more of a breather this year at times than they have in the past. Whether it's his age, he's over 30. He's been dinged up because he plays his ass off every single snap, and he plays pretty much 95 to 100% of the defensive snaps. I think that they would be wise to watch his snap counts a little bit closer. If this is going to be a top 10 defense again, it's going to be because Khalil Mack is leading the way. So with all that said, don't need to add much more. Khalil Mack is the number two most important player, the second most important player in the upcoming 2021 season.
Yeah, he does a lot of things well, but you want to say at the end of the year, that's why we pay Khalil Mack the big bucks, yes. Right? I mean, like, leave no doubt how good you are.
He was special. I believe he was Defensive Player of the Year in 2018. 2019, I think his sack total dropped down to like 8.5. Last year, I think it was 9. And again, sacks don't tell the entire story.
Right.
It's quarterback pressures. It's how you affect a game plan. It's how you do a lot of things. He is an elite level player. Like to see him, you know, get back to 2018 form. If it doesn't happen, I still believe even if he's not that good, he can still be one of the top five players in this league on that side of the football. So we need to see him get out there and do his thing.
Okay, so Khalil Mack is at number two. And I don't disagree with anything that Tommy or Mark said right there, because if he's not impactful, I can't count on Robert Quinn. I'm hoping he's now healthy and ready to go and is the guy that had, by a mile, the highest pass rush win rate in the season preceding signing with Chicago. Mm-hmm. If Khalil Mack isn't that guy again, the defense doesn't have much of a chance.
Well, you know, we always hear about him being double-teamed. or triple teamed. And I will just tell you that that should open it up for someone else, right? That's why I thought Robert Quinn would have a better year, or Akeem Hicks when healthy would have a better year. I just thought that the quarterback's jerseys, Cap, last year were too clean, where they were not hurried. They didn't feel like they're pressured out of the pocket. I didn't see enough of that. Again, you can look at the depth chart for the Bears defense and say, Akeem Hicks and Quinn and Khalil Mack, you know, sign me up all the way across the board. You look at that defense and say, boy, that's an opportunistic, aggressive defense on paper. But where is it on the field? And that's where the rubber meets the road. This whole thing with a new defensive coordinator that's in place for the Bears, I like to see whether or not the scheme will be any different or will stay the same.
With Sean Desai.
Yeah, will Desai be any different than what we saw last year or not?
From what I've heard, the players are very excited. Not that they didn't like Chuck Pagano, but it was a different philosophy from Vic Fangio. Sean Desai is a Vic Fangio protege, and they feel like they're getting back to playing the way they want to play.
You know, so a question that we'll never know the answer to. Say Fangio does not get a head coaching job, and not saying he didn't deserve one. I mean, he waited a long time to be able to be a head coach, right, in the NFL. So he's with the Broncos. Say, for instance, that job does not occur. Does the Bears defense still play at that same level that when he was here? Does it stay the same?
Or does it dip over the last two seasons?
Yeah, or does it dip if he doesn't take the job? Say he's still the DC the entire time, the whole run here.
I still think they have some regression because they had an inordinate number of forced turnovers and turnovers that led to scores. Fumble recovery, run back, or pickoff for a touchdown. So I do think there would be natural regression. They still would have been maybe markedly better, not oh my God, like they were in 2018. Their big mistake was not believing in Brandon Staley, who's now the head coach of the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah.
Brandon Staley, they should have promoted to be the D.C. here. And he's a young, unproven guy. We're not going to do it. Oh, the Rams just hired him. And he went there as the D.C. Now he's a head coach. So this time they don't want to make that mistake with Sean Desai.
Yeah, that's the hope, you know, and here's what we know. We saw last week, we read for you what the Bears could look like in 3 years. And the reason why that the writers that put that piece together on ESPN.com said that the Bears would be in the lower five is because of the regression of the defense. It's hard to be able to put together an aggressive defense that could be able to get to the quarterback. And again, the Bears have it. But in 3 years, what does that defense look like? That's why, man, you got to catch lightning in a bottle now. I don't mean like this year, but the last few years, right? Because if you don't have a lot going for you offensively, the defense needs to carry the way. And so that's my fear, Cap. Like in the next couple of years, we'll have some building blocks, but I don't know. Like, will there be a Quinn, a Mack, guys like that that can get to the quarterback? You're hoping that you could draft that and get younger, but it just, you've got bona fide quality guys there in name. Right? And production in the past. But it's just not coming together. I want to see it come together this year. Because otherwise, the next couple of years, what does that defense look like, really?
Not good. And it's not as though you have 50, 60, 70 million in cap room. You're always flirting with the cap because they've paid their stars.
Yeah.
They've paid Cody Whitehair. They've paid Mack. They've paid Quinn. They paid Eddie Goldman. They paid Akeem Hicks. They paid Eddie Jackson. So, and if Jalen Johnson, who I think's ready to become cornerback one,
sure,
if he plays well, he's going to get paid. My big question is, what's going on at the other corner? Artie Burns coming off an ACL.
Special teams guy.
Desmond Trufant, who he's long in the tooth. Kendall Vildor. I mean, who's going to be the other cornerback? And when you face Tennessee and you get A.J. Brown on one side and you're going to get Julio Jones, and you got to cover their tight end, and you got a quarterback in Tannehill that runs. Like, how do you deal with a team like that if you have to face a really tough matchup?
You know what also is a fear, Cap, is as much as you and I are buying into Justin Fields, and again, I saw him in college, and I just think that he has Deshaun Watson-like leadership skills on the field, right? I saw it, man. I know that he can really be a difference maker. Last thing you want is, man, the offense is looking better. But you're losing 33-27.
Correct.
See, that we got our offense. We're ready to go, but yet we're giving it up on the other side.
Correct.
Now we're getting gashed over the middle over and over again. Now they're hitting us on big plays. Okay, so that's you as much
we're
as
we're losing a different way.
Right. I mean, it's 95 in some ways where Kramer was good and the defense was just okay. You want to be able to have – all I want is balance.
Or as 2018.
Much, 2018 is a perfect example, right? I just want balance as much as possible.
As much?
I want a good offense. Yeah, but
agreed.
I also want a defense that can stop people and get to the quarterback.
All right. Again, don't forget 9:13 WWE Monday Night Raw is coming home to Chicago. That's August 2nd at Allstate Arena. Chicago's Home for Sports has tickets all this week on this show. Win your way in to see your favorite Raw superstars live. You could buy tickets as well for as low as $20 at Ticketmaster.com. We'll give them away at 9:13, a really good pair.
Danny?
Gentlemen, a little Packers news for you from our good friend Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for ESPN.com. Fans standing outside Lambeau Field to Packers president Mark Murphy as he walked in this morning. Quote, when is Aaron going to be here? End quote. Murphy, he's already here.
There you go.
Hat in hand, on bended knee.
On bended knee.
Can I just come back for one more season? Well, what happened to the Jeopardy job? What about Shailene? What happened there?
He's a diva.
He's back with him.
He's good, but he's a diva.
And he's going to go out on his own terms. He's going to have his own version of The Last Dance. I don't understand any of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like they gave you the moon and the stars, and financially, even the money didn't move him.
You have to win multiple championships to have last dance comparisons. Stop yourself, Green Bay. No last dance. Your star receiver has as much jewelry as Hoodie and I combined. Zero rings. Albert Breer takes us around the NFL. Next.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and J Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
Well, what do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
What Bert is it?
Our guy, Albert Breer. He is as tapped in as anyone in the National Football League. And we've got a lot to discuss with him. He joins us every Tuesday morning at 8:35. Albert, good morning. Aaron Rodgers, I just saw a picture posted of him walking in flip-flops through the players' parking lot. And Mark Murphy turned to a bunch of fans and said, yeah, he's already here. Are you surprised?
No. I mean, I think we've talked about it. I mean, like, I think, you know, we've talked about this over the last couple of months, guys. And, you know, quite honestly, I didn't know if he was going to show up on time, but I had sort of assumed throughout that he was going to play for the Packers this year because the Packers weren't trading him. And, you know, I think that's out of service to the rest of their roster and, you know, like where they are. So many players are right in the heart of the prime of their careers. They've been to the championship game 2 years in a row. It wouldn't be fair to anybody else. You know, in that locker room, it wouldn't be fair to a lot of people in that building if they didn't do everything they could to get Aaron Rodgers back in the fold coming off of an MVP year. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, when the deadline, which was always going to be the start of training camp, started to approach, then things started to happen. And look, this is a great result for football fans everywhere because, you know, it's going to be a great storyline to follow over the next 6 months.
So, Albert, how much does this deal surprise you? This NBA-ish type of deal where he's going to have his grand, you know, send-off this season. It's a little odd, is it? Is it not?
Well, I should correct one thing that I just said, by the way. I said football fans everywhere. I don't know if it's a great win for football fans where you guys are at. Yeah, you know, Hoodie, it's an interesting dynamic because I think the challenge for them was, and I'd heard some people say, well, why don't you just cut the last 2 years off of this deal? that wouldn't make any sense for the Packers at all, you know, because then, yeah, you have him for the year, but, like, you lose any sort of shot to get a return in a trade for him, you know? So, like, if people are saying he's worth three or four first-round picks, you would, in essence, be giving up three or four first-round picks for 1 year of Aaron Rodgers and, you know, sort of kneecapping your ability to build around the next quarterback, whether that's Jordan Love or whoever else. So, you know, I think it was smart, you know, what it looks like they're going to do, which is take a year off of his deal and basically give him a no franchise tag provision, which, you know, I mean, means that next offseason, if the Packers want to get any sort of return for him and not just let him go to free agency, and if he goes to free agency, the most they can get back, the compensatory picks, a fifth rounder, then they've got to deal him then, you know. And so what I think the compromise does is it creates a decision point after this year where if things have gotten better, they'll have an opportunity to do an extension, and Aaron can get, you know, what he'd be worth and get a market deal. And, you know, if things aren't better, if they still are where they have been, well, you know, then Aaron's got the leverage to force a trade out of town.
So do you think – look, I look at Aaron as, obviously, one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks to ever play the sport. Now, he only has one ring. We could stop with the Last Dance comparisons, please. Davante Adams has as much jewelry as the three of us, you, me, and Hoodie, have. Aaron's got one. He's a great football player. But has he also changed the narrative around him that the casual football fan looked at him and goes, great player, diva?
I mean, I think it was sort of going that way already. You know, I think people who've been and it's people who've been really paying attention, you know, understand that, like, you know, to some degree, Aaron's always been a different dude and, you know, like, kind of handles himself in a different way. And that's not, like, a horrible thing, you know, but it's something that I think the Packers have dealt with and have known for quite some time. And I think over time, like, people who are really paying attention have picked up on that, you know, and then I think this sort of brings that to light as well. It's not all that different than, like, what happened with Russell Wilson. I mean, I, you know, I'll go all the way back. I mean, these sorts of things tend to come out over time. I mean, I'll go all the way back to, like, a guy you guys are familiar with, and Jay Cutler.
Sure.
I really like Jay, but, like, you know, Jay's obviously a different dude too. And I can still remember, I think it was 2008, he got, like, on the field with Phillip Rivers. I'm sure you guys remember that. It's when Jay was still in the Broncos. And, you know, I there were a lot of people at the time who thought, like, Phillip, you know, was the a-hole in that situation. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, like, Phillip is very, very well liked in the league, and people, you know, eventually figured that out, you know, and Jay has some people who aren't fans of him in the league, and that came out, you know. And so, you know, I think these guys are so well covered now and, you know, so accessible, I guess, in so many different ways because of social media and everything else, that eventually who you are is going to come out.
I wonder, Albert, when we look at Aaron Rodgers, I know he's got to be able to look on the other side and see Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Tom Brady, the ability to kind of pick and choose certain players that he wanted. He can tailor the game plan the way he wanted with Byron Leftwich. Everything seems like it was going Tom's way. I'm sure that Aaron looks at it the same way and says, man, I got a GM that I don't like. I don't have enough players. I can't pick the players that I want. I wonder, does Aaron look at it, Tom, and say, well, I wish I had what Tom had, besides the rings, just the autonomy?
I think that happened everywhere this year. Like, I think that was a factor in the Russell Wilson thing. You know, I have a harder time comparing Deshaun Watson and Matthew Stafford because those guys, and this is, like, putting, obviously, the legal stuff with Watson aside for a second. You know, I just think that, you know, in both those situations, you know, those guys were on bad teams, you know. Rodgers and Wilson are different. Like, they've been on teams that have given them a chance to contend very consistently over the last decade, right? So I think those guys are a little different, but I do think this is happening across the sport now where, you know, and I think it's sort of maybe, you know, LeBron's effect on all of sports where just being good around a player isn't good enough. You know, a player wants a team to build on his timeline with urgency. And, you know, I think, you know, the best way to look at it is, like the, for example, like the 2017 Cavaliers were not worried that much about what happened after 2018, even though they knew that LeBron James might be gone, right? Because the way they looked at it was, once LeBron leaves, it's over, you know, and we're going to be rebuilding regardless. That's sort of the approach the Buccaneers have taken with Brady. Like, we don't care what happens after 2023, because when our quarterback moves on, our core is going to be older. We're going to have to rebuild regardless. And so they already had a really good core intact, and now they're building around that core with abandon. And I think the other quarterbacks look at that and see, that's what I'm up against right now. And, oh, by the way, that's something I'd also like to have for myself. So, you know, I think, you know, you look at Seattle, you look at Green Bay, they're really well-run franchises. You know, I think the quarterback wanting a little extra, wanting a voice, wanting the team to build with their teams to build with that sort of aggression and urgency, I think is the difference in what you're seeing now and the impact that Brady had. Because God knows forever, the idea of super teams never worked in the NFL. So it's not just that Brady pulled off what he pulled off last year in getting to Tampa. It's that in the end, it worked.
We're almost out of time, Albert, but in a short answer, do you believe, and do insiders you talk to truly believe, Matt Nagy is wedded to Andy Dalton, or Justin Fields can just tear it up in camp and he can indeed win the job?
So I want you guys, I did this in my column today. Everybody can check it out on the website. I want you guys to check out a quote from Kyle Shanahan on the chance that Trey Lance has to win the job there. My belief is the Bears' feeling on Fields is the same as Shanahan's feeling on Lance, where it basically is, I'm not going to leave this guy on the bench to the detriment of the team, if that makes sense. So Justin's going to be working with the twos. Andy's going to be working with the ones. Justin's going to get a lot of snaps in the preseason. You know, and I think Justin goes in, having done a lot in the spring to show who he is, having studied, he's a worker, they see that. He's got a good feel for how a rookie should operate in that sort of situation, because those can be awkward, you know, at times. I think right now what this is going to come down to is, can Justin show that it's unfair to the rest of the team not to put him on the field? And his opportunity to do that is going to be with the second team in practice and on the preseason game field. So, like, I think the likelihood is Andy Dalton's a starter, because Andy Dalton is ahead of him right now, just mentally, and being able to pick up the offense and spit play calls out, direct his teammates and all that different stuff. But I do think the Bears feel like they've got a pretty special player in Justin Fields in the pipeline right now. And, you know, we'll see what he can do with it over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. There he is, Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com. Why was my partner, Jonathan Hood, in the slowest car on the highway? That's awful. When he was headed back to Chicago from Milwaukee? You aren't going to believe this, because Danny and I learned something today from Hoodie that I had no idea existed. Next.
Start the day. Our new morning show, Cap and Jay Hood.
Mornings on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Like being in a car that is not going at least the speed limit, and cars are zipping by you on the highway, or you're in the left lane and there's a car in the left lane in front of you and they're going like 55 in a 55. Like, move over.
Yeah.
Hoodie was on his way back from Milwaukee after, so this would have been later Sunday night.
Yeah, later Sunday night. I'm with my cousins, Terrence, Wiley and Maceo, and we're driving back on Sunday night. Again, spent time on Saturday and Sunday in Wisconsin. Got plenty of my money from watching the White Sox and Brewers, and mm-hmm. we're going back. Like, of course, I got to be here bright and early Monday morning, and I wasn't going to skip Monday just because I was out all weekend.
And this is like 10, 11 at night.
Well, this is what happened. So we're watching, you know, we're watching the Sox and Brewers. We leave in the bottom of the eighth. I said, okay, let's get the shuttle. Let's get back to Zaza's, the restaurant there, and let's get into the car. And I just happened to notice, Wiley, we're driving, we're talking sports and everything else in between. I just kind of, I'm in the shotgun seat right next to my cousin Wiley, who's driving. And I just kind of look over every now and then. I see like 70, I see 68, I see 67. I see cars whizzing past us as we're in the middle lane on our way back home, back toward Chicago. And I, at some point, about 45 minutes into the drive, I said, Wiley, there's a lot of cars passing us up, man. What's going on? He goes, oh, I got that Allstate thing, man. I said, what do you mean that Allstate thing? He goes, oh, I got that Allstate app, man. I can't go over 80 because then I can't get the discount. I go, are you bleeping me? Are you serious? I said, you got that thing on? We got to get going here. Like he's going 65 in the middle of the lane. I told Jeff this yesterday. He's going 65, and he wouldn't dare go not even past 75. Now, that's again, Milwaukee to Chicago is not a long trip. It's not a long trip, but it can be if you're going 65 miles an hour.
Correct.
Come on, brother. So I got the same thing. Now, keep in mind, you know, your wife will say something, right? She'll say, hey, I got this, and you're like, okay, whatever, right? Yeah. It just passes by. You're thinking about something else. So Peacock says, I've got the same thing for State Farm. I've got, like, this little thing, and you put this, you know, on the other side of your rearview mirror. You just stick it there, and it's connected to your app. If you drive under a speed limit, you get money, right? You get savings every month.
So, you know the ad for Geico?
Yeah.
I think it's Geico, where they have the lady in one hot rod, the guy in the other, mm-hmm. and the lights go doot, 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 doot. Bam, they take off. They're going down the drag strip.
Right.
She blows him away. He's going like 30 miles an hour, and he's laughing. Yeah, he finishes dead last, but he saved a bunch of money.
Yes.
So that I thought that was a joke.
That's what Wiley was doing, though. I was because I, you know, you don't want to complain. You want to be the backseat driver, right? Mm-hmm. You've had a great time all weekend. You're watching the Sox Brewers. We're yucking it up, telling stories and all that. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Just busting balls, all that. And just kind of look over like, oh, God, he's just going 65. Hey, Grandpa, you could step on the gas a little bit. Oh, no, dog, I can't do that, man. I got that Allstate thing. I got the hookup. What do you mean?
I had no idea that was even...
Danny,
I thought that was a joke, and so did you.
When he said there was a gadget keeping track of his cousin's speed, my jaw dropped. I can't believe, A, that there is such a thing that exists, and B, that anyone in the world would be willing to sign up for that. I don't care how much money that it would save me. I'm not sacrificed going 85 miles an hour.
Now, my initial thought when you shared this with me yesterday, Hoodie, was that when you said, you know, he's got a device, he can't go over 70, I assumed your cousin Wiley had a history of reckless driving.
I don't.
And that he had to, it was court ordered. He willingly signed up for this?
He's texting me now. Because he knows.
Is he explaining himself?
No, he just says, I'm happy to provide you some content. But it is true, though, man. Like, I have the same thing with State Farm. But you know what? Between you and me, that thing's unplugged. I don't have that thing for highway driving. No shot.
No shot.
I'm going 80, 85. I mean, but for, like, the city driving, you know, make sure you hit your lights and make sure, like, that's fine. But, I mean, that's the difference between me coming home at 1 o'clock in the morning and midnight.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to do the highway long-distance math. That's where it really starts to add up and is in your benefit. Listen, we'll all do the speed limit when we're driving short distances. But come on, if you're talking about a long distance where you can actually rack up 15, 30, 45 minutes, get out of here.
Wiley, you know that you're wrong, man. Unplug that thing. I mean, just come on, Cap. I mean, from Milwaukee to Chicago, you know you want to go about 80. You know, you got the ways making sure that you're...
Yes.
You know, but my God, man. Like, Grandpa, all these cars pass us up going 100 miles an hour, and we're putting through 65, getting past Willow Springs.
Are you signed up for this ridiculous gadget? 312-332-3776.
Ridiculous.
You only go 60, 65, 70 tops just to save a few bucks? Yeah. Not this guy. No shot.
Discount double check.
We're back in 2 minutes.